This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, Colin Buchanan is a household name in Australia. You might know him from Play School or his super popular Christian kids music, or perhaps you've cheered him on as he's picked up one of his 9 golden guitars. Very impressive. But while he's always been busy with music and media, it's been a while since he's actually put out his own grown-up album. His new release, Calvary Road, is out now. Hi, Colin.
Hello, Katrina. Lovely to be talking to you. That was a nice introduction. I was thinking, as you were saying it, I was thinking, I'd like to meet this guy.
Well, you're lucky because he's here today, Colin.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah. Yes. So is this a new creative direction for you, Colin? You know, is it a step down a different road?
No. In fact, this is the road I started on. Mm. I mean, the album's called Calvary Road, but I lived in a little Christian community out the back of Bourke down the Wanaring Road. And hello to all our listeners in Bourke. That was back in 1988. And I'd written songs, you know, for church and Sunday school. Some of my kids' Christian songs I'd written before that time, but I'd also written songs, folky sort of songs about just life and things I'd seen. But getting to the bush just exploded my songwriting, and suddenly I was writing songs about the life and the people I was meeting out there. And that was the road. We went there to get serious about following Jesus and to learn what that meant for every day, all the time. I wrote some songs, and little did I know that the Wanaring Road was the road into music. And
yeah.
Here I am all these years later.
Well, you are, and yet in a way, I mean, you haven't exactly followed the career path that would have been expected for you. I mean, back in 1992 when you won that Best New Talent Golden Guitar.
You've done your research.
It looked as though you were on the cusp of this huge solo country music career, like a Keith Urban or a Lee Kernaghan or whatever. But instead, most of the music that you've written in that vein has gone onto other people's albums.
Yeah, that's right.
Why is that?
Well, that's an interesting question. It has. And so I released, 4? I think I've done 5 country albums. And then I've contributed to particularly Lee Kernaghan's career and Troy Cassidaly's career, but although there's a bunch of other artists that I've collaborated with over the years. So I think probably because in 1996, some of these songs that I'd written that were in the backlog, The Old Black Crow and Remember the Lord and Practice Being Godly, these songs, I thought, I'm just going to do a little sideline. I'm going to put them on a little record because I think, you know, friends had said, the people should be able to sing those. So that I did that in 96. So I had 4 country albums out by that stage. And I was doing Play School. And little did I know that would become a new career in itself.
Well, that was 20 years of your life. That's pretty much what you've been doing, isn't it?
Yeah,
doing
Christian stuff. My kids' Christian music, I've done 1 country album and a couple of songwritery Christian albums in that time as well. So I've definitely concentrated on my kids' Christian music. And I think at the heart of whatever I've done has been the songwriting. That's really important. And, you know, rather than kids' music being, just whistle out any old thing. But when it comes to kids, and there's a song about this actually on the new album called Like a Child. When Jesus commends the faith of a child, he also talks about how careful you've got to be with teaching children, that you don't sell them a lie.
It's such a worthwhile.
The old millstone warning, where it's better to get a millstone and be tossed in the drink than to lead little ones astray. So you've got to really have your wits about you and think, well, how am I not diluting but distilling the Bible and God's truth into, even though you have heaps of fun making up kooky, you know, moments and musical moments. I think there's been a great ongoing songwriting challenge that makes that stuff feel not so far from what I'm doing
from what
here
you're
in this
doing
new
now.
Album.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so many mums and dads who've had their kids growing up listening to your album, they so appreciate what you do, Colin. What's inspired you to move back towards this more, you know, the singer-songwriter roots and doing your own album?
Well, you know, I do feel like it's something that I hadn't, you know, just exercise. I am a bit of an instinctive songwriter as opposed to, I've got a project, I better write some songs. Virtually every project I do, almost regardless of what it is, involves gathering up my, you know, tidying my desk or at least pulling bits of half-written songs out of the various, you know, piles of things. And, you know, so I do a lot of corralling of ideas every album. So I've just noticed that there's been these songs sitting there and the file marked Calvary Road, or, you know, songs that are, you know, if someone's asked me to come to a men's breakfast and they want me to, they're not getting me to sing Ba Ba Do Ba Ba there. No. They are,
why not?
Yeah, that's right. There's songs that are, some of these songs that I found really helpful that explain the Christian faith in a sort of fairly grassroots way, that paint portraits of faith that is a more arresting, you know, to know someone as opposed to be told a concept is quite a different, you know, prospect. So I found those songs really useful, and it's nice to put them together.
So it sounds like rather than being a whole album of new songs, that it's kind of a songs that you've collected and created over
the time.
Yeah,
that's right. In fact, the newest song I did one extra recording day to get a song called Jesus Was Converted, which is you know, a curious title to those who think, hang on, how could he be converted? But and maybe I should just tease that and leave the rest.
Get the album, find out the answer.
Find out. But then there was a song popped out after we'd started recording the album about my dad called The Hardest Thing, and that he died in 2015, and I always thought I would write a song about him, and this is sort of, yeah, I wasn't forcing myself to do that. It just, I was sitting at home and the song lightning struck and out came this song. So and then other songs, You'd Like Jesus is a song that I really have enjoyed playing because it's about presenting the surprising character of Jesus, you know, and he sticks up for the little guy and he says things bravely and he's compassionate and he gets in the trenches and risks a bullet. And those things are good things to sing about to people who sort of think that Christianity is just religion and that they're, you know, hypocrites and it has no place on a building site or, you know, down in the cut and thrust of life. And it's great to just bring the historical Jesus into those places and say, you know what, if he walked in here today, I think you'd like him and you'd be surprised by him. And in the end, what you think of him is probably the secondary question. It's what he thinks of you, you know.
Sure. I mean, with your kids' albums, Colin, they're very much, they're written for Christian families to train their children in godliness and to learn to know the Bible and to love God. Is this album reaching a little bit beyond that, reaching out to people who maybe haven't heard this message before or haven't made up their mind about Jesus?
I think so. I think, you know, I wanted it not to be in-house, in that I'd call an in-house album like a praise and worshipy sort of album where you go, yep, I'm in. I'm a Christian and I want to celebrate the things of God or learn about them. Whereas this is an album I wanted to be one that would introduce people potentially to those things. So definitely, yes, I would hope that it's an album that builds bridges. But I also hope that it's a refreshing way for people who are in-house, who are already Christians, to just reconsider the life of Jesus and to celebrate faith. There's a song called Faith Smiles, which is just about a lady, Heather, who our kids went to the same school. She used to volunteer at the school and photocopy, but she just smiled, you know, and laughed, a very laughy family, and just that's a picture of their lives. And then she got sick and sadly she died. But faith inhabited that entire journey for the whole family in a really arresting way. So faith didn't just smile and laugh. Faith wept, and in the end, faith sang around her bedside. And that's a portrait of faith that's enriching for Christians and arresting, I think, for people who aren't believers.
Oh, that's good. So what are you going to play for us today, Colin?
Well, the first single, Katrina, is called Outside the Camp. And it's probably the most difficult song to explain. It's I always say music is best listened to than talked about in the end. But if I could say it slightly in an ambiguous way, we know that the place we like to be in is a place of comfort and of safety and of well-being. That's what we hope for, you know, of wealth, and, you know, we just like being in a safe place. And yet Jesus stepped into the most fearsomely, repulsively dangerous place, being Calvary, the cross, and that's a very surprising place, the place of death and of shame for God to be found. So outside the camp is sort of exploring that thought.
All right, well, let's hear it now. Outside the Camp, Colin's new single from the Calvary Road album.
Outside the camp, no one's cheering. You feel lonely and small. Out there, no one needs reminding. Stuck outside the city wall. Life can dry up and blow away like that restless desert sand. Jesus, what do you think you're doing outside the camp? Outside the camp, you can smell it. Vultures picking at the bones. When the sky hints at the darkness, all the mockers run for home. Cast your lots and divide the spoils of this dying son of man. Jesus, what do you think you're doing outside the camp? Outside the camp, someone's laughing. It's a hideous disgrace. Like a lamb led to the slaughter. In this God-forsaken place, hear the moans of the dying souls. They're begging for the end. Jesus, what do you think you're doing outside the camp? Outside the camp, see them coming. First a trickle, then a flow. They're hungry for forgiveness. They got nowhere else to go. And grace is never cheap or easy. It puts nails in hands. Jesus knew what he was doing outside the camp. Jesus knew what he was doing outside the camp. Holy suffering in that place. Oh, there's pain and there's disgrace. And there's everlasting grace outside the camp. Outside the camp.